So the last chabur we began to shift our focus from the discussion of which kelim are chayav and which kelim are pturim to the question of how one goes about doing a tefilas kelim, assuming that I have a kli that's chayav and tefilas, how do I tovel it? The last time we saw sif aleph and sif beis was the discussion of what's the proper makom tefilas. We spoke about mikvah and about mayim, and sif aleph and sif beis is about now that you know in which body of water you're going to be matpil the kli, so how do you hold it? That was that issue of figuring out how one holds a kli in order to be tovlet. And the third issue in the world of the ofen atfila is sif gimel, and that is the question of bracha. So it's rooted in a gemara that appears, a member of Shmuel, that appears in numerous mesachtas. Kalamis is Kulan, Rebaruch Halein Overlas Yasin, the Takana of Berkas HaMitzvahs. No doubt maybe you've been thinking about Morin Seder at some point, about the concept of Berkas HaMitzvah. There is a big handle in Rishonim that's not relevant here. The big handle many Rishonim have about that member of Shmuel, Kalamis is Kulan, Rebaruch Halein Overlas Yasin. The biggest kasha is that it's, despite Shmuel's insistence that Kolamitzis, and I think in most of the times the Gemara quotes, at least argues as Kolamitzis Kulin, every single mitzvah, but there are countless mitzvahs that do not require Tfilas Kelim. That was a discussion, that was a question that engaged the mind of many Rishonim. Kibud Avim has no bar bracha, Amunah has no bracha. There's no Berkas HaMitzvah in Kriya Shema, at least not usually, despite there's a fascinating line in Tosafot, Rabbeinu Yonah, Aleph and Beis, says if you're repeating Kriya Shema, you daven Ur and Ma'ariv, so some of the Gaonim would say, I think Rav Amram Gaon, would say Berkas HaMitzvah. Okay, but despite that, and more, there's so many mitzvahs you don't say Berkas HaMitzvah, so there is, just by way of reference, many Rishonim discuss this. Rambam discusses it very briefly at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos. He seems to basically say, Be'am l'chavero is no bracha, be'am l'makom there is a bracha. He points to other criteria that are not relevant. There's more to it than just that. There's a tshuva of the Re Ibn Palat, Rav Yossi Ibn Palat. Ravid reached out to Yossi Ibn Palat with great deference to ask him, I'm trying to figure this out. The Ravid writes, so many mitzvahs do require bracha, some mitzvahs don't require bracha. What's the magic formula? You don't know much about Rav Yossi Ibn Palat, but he must be one of the Gedolei Hadar, because the Ravid reached out with him with great deference. So I believe the Rajba quotes that tshuva in the Tshuvas, and the Abu Draham, roughly contemporary the Rajba, I think the base midrashas Rambani wrote on the Siddur. So he also quotes a chunk of that tshuva. There's many different criteria that come into play. Rabbeinu Manoach, on the bottom of the Rambam Perek Yud Aleph of Brachos, has a lot to say about that. Meiri has a lot to say about that. Megillah. But that's not relevant yet. That issue is not. Kulam lo pligi that you do make a bracha on Tfilas Kelim. Whatever the rules and regulations are, whatever the criteria are, to determine which mitzvahs require brachas and which don't, Rishonim don't debate whether or not you make a Berkas HaMitzvah. What they do debate is what bracha you say. The Mordechai, here in Avodah Zarah, quotes three deyos, three different lengths of brachas. It's the end of Tav Tav Nun Tes. He quotes the Rashbam, said you say Ala Tfila, the same bracha that a woman says before she goes to mikvah. And then other Rishonim had slightly longer versions, either Al Tfilas Kli, or even Al Tfilas Kli Shel Mateches. The three versions that the Mordechai quotes. And there's an interesting discussion, a very, very vigorous discussion about that. the Hagaz Ashri, Hagaz Ashri on the side of the Rosh, quotes the Or Zeruah, when the early we show Chachmei Ashkenaz passing like the third day, you have to say Al Tefilas Klei Matechas. And the Shach quotes that, and he takes that very seriously. The tour in the Shulchan Aruch quotes the middle approach. Al Tefilas Klei, Al Tefilas Kelim. But you have this third day that the Shach thinks we have to take it seriously. The Yisra Hetter quotes it, Agos Ashri quotes it, all from the Zeruah. The Bach supports that approach. The Bach says, we found it elsewhere also. Bach says, not the only mitzvah you give more details. You don't say, Chanukah, as you said, Chanukah is coming up soon. You don't say, Lahad Lekner. Say, Lahad Lekner Chanukah, or Lahad Lekner Shel Chanukah. Two different versions, with or without the Shel. But you mention Chanukah, Leil Shabbos, you say, you don't say Lahad Lekner. You talk about the Ner Shabbos. So Bach says, what did I mean over here? You're just going to say, Al Tefilas Kelim. What type of Kelim? You don't tovel wooden kalim, you don't tovel rubber kalim, metal kalim. You don't tovel cheres, metal.
Well, I know that.
Well,
the only thing that's chayev is a dead kalim. This is matachas.
Yeah. So that's the point that the Taz makes. The Bach is on the side of the Tur, and his son-in-law, the Taz, is on the side of Shulchan Aruch. So the Bach attacks the Tur. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch both take this middle approach. You say, Al Tefilas Kli. The Tur writes, if it's a Kli, Al Tefilas Kli. He's totaling two or three. He says, Al Tefilas Kelim. Mechaber says it also in Siv Gimel. So while the Bach on the side of the Tur attacks, and he says, what do you mean? You have to give more details. And then the Shach on the side of Shulchan Aruch supports that. But the Taz on the side of Shulchan Aruch Sifkanei, see, he says, the Mordechai said, in quoting this third sheet, you want to be clear that Shloi Hebe Mashma Ushar Kelim Sheini Chavim Betvila. And he says, Talmaiti. Tal says, I'm shocked. Why stop there? Is Ein Lodav Rasof? He says, we said there are three conditions that you need in play in order to warrant Tefilas Kelim. So why only mention Mataches? Why not mention it has to be Suda, has to be Nikach Menachem? Elmai, the Tal says, number one, Ein Lodav Rasof. Number two, we don't give halacha shiurim in the midst of a Birkas HaMitzvah. The Tal says, look at any leishev basuka. You say leishev basuka shiyeshlo sach kosher that has gimel defanas that the schach is made out of gedavim shigadul me'ar. No brachas like that. Alatilas yadayim. To alatilas yadayim with mayim. That's you know. The Taz says we don't. It's true. It is important. The Mordechai is correct. That it is important, Talmud Torah is important. We need to know all the dinim and Tefilas Kelim. You need to know which Kelim are Chayiv, which Kelim are not Chayiv. The Torah says that is a important goal, but we don't accomplish that goal in the context of Birkas HaMitzvahs. The Nusach of the Birkas HaMitzvah is not intended to enumerate all the dinim of the mitzvah. The Nusach of the Birkas HaMitzvah is meant to name the mitzvah. I'm identifying the mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvahs in general, and specifically mitzvah means to do this mitzvah. So you have to name which mitzvah. It happens to be the Tosefta and Brachas. Here, the Gross of Cotton Test sends you to Tosefta, the end of Masechet Brachas. So there is a day that we don't accept that if a Jew is about to do 10 different mitzvahs, they put on a talis and put on tefillin, they make a bracha al ha-mitzvahs. I think it's the Talmud Reb Shimon says that, if I remember correctly. So we don't pass on that way. We say, no, you're about to do a series of different mitzvahs, you have to make a separate bracha on each one. Which is similar to those who are in the midst of of a case of Archon. So it comes up on the Mishnah Lamed Hei, but the Gemara talks about Daf Mem. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, you need Pirut and Brachas. even though I'm going to eat a series of different foods, I don't say shahak on all of them. I'm going to make a shahak on this one, but I already made ha'itz on this and hadam on that. So in somewhat similar fashion, there is a need for pirut in birkas and mitzvahs also. We reject that sheet and tosefta. You just say ala mitzvahs. Okay, so you have to name, you have to identify the mitzvah. You don't have to give all the pirut dinim. You do need to know all the pirut dinim, but that's the place for it. But kol man ve'ischol chepes tachas hashemayim. The halacha shiur is important, but it doesn't belong in the midst of a birkas and mitzvah. So that's the Taz's attack. And he pushes back on his father-in-law the Bach, and he says it's not the same. Ner Chavaka, you want to name the mitzvah. So he says, my father-in-law pointed out you don't just say Ladik Ner, you say Ladik Ner Chavaka. Yeah, because there's one mitzvah called Ner Chavaka, there's a different mitzvah called Ner Shabbos. Those are two distinct and separate mitzvahs to Rabbanan. So I need to identify which one I'm doing. He said, I understand, perhaps parallel to that is the fact that the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch both embrace the second approach as opposed to the first approach, the Ashbam ala Tvila. Yeah, we're not just going to say ala Tvila. We're going to have, that would include Tvila's Nidah also. Good, so we'll say ala Tvila's Kalim. We're going to say ala Tvila's Kalim. The truth is there are situations where we do have a single bracha that covers multiple related mitzvahs. I believe we should be zocher soon once again to make a Asher Kiddisham Sosav Tzivanu al Achilas Truma. Actually, Asher Kiddisham B'Kedushaso Shel Aaron V'Tzivanu al Achilas Truma. So that bracha, I believe we make that bracha. We should be zocher soon to have to have tahara, to have a paraduma, shizocha the kohen shvil to eat truma or trumas meiser or bikurim or chala, the kedusha v'tahara, you make that. I believe that same bracha on all because they're all related mitzvahs. Okay, it comes up lemasa bezman hazeh in terms of tefillin. That's a big machlokas Rashi and Rambam against the Tosfos since machlokas halacha lemaisa. Chokas Ashtar Mashkenazim, whether you make Laniach Tefillin is the bracha for both Shal Yad and Shal Rosh or not. So that may be related also. There were the two separate mitzvahs, but the Rambam writes they have two separate mitzvahs, but since they're related, you make a single bracha on both. Okay, so Yesh La'ayin, that may be, that's the dividing line between sheet number one and sheet number two. You say Al HaTvila. It's not the same as Tfilas Nida, but similar. They say, no, you have to make it distinct. The approach of the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Tal supports. You have to make it distinct. You have to say, Al Tfilas Kelim. But either way, the Tal says, I don't understand my father's fascination with the Shita of Zar Zerua, the Yisra Heter and the Shach. Al Tfilas Kli Mateches, it seems that it's already getting into the world of Pirtei Mitzvos, which belong in the Beis HaMedrash, but not in the Nusach HaBracha. And then the Pre-Chadash, in the side of Shulchan Aruch, he has another attack, a different attack, on this Shita of the Bach and the Shach, of the Ozerua and the Isveter, the third Shita. He says, putting aside the Taz's concern, which is a valid concern, and we're not looking for pirtei mitzvah, just looking to name the mitzvahs, the shema mitzvah. He says, even if you believe you want to have a pirtei mitzvah, what would you do with glass? Meila ner Chanukah. The entire mitzvah of ner Chanukah is included under the rubric of ner Chanukah. But the entire mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim is not included under the rubric of Kli Mateches, because it's Kli Mateches is a Kli Suchas. There is, I think, a further handle later achronim. What if you hold like that third shita? So what do you say on zchuchas? Do you say tefilas kelim? Do you say tefilas zchuchas? Or maybe mateches includes zchuchas also. And that goes back to the discussion we had earlier. Midrabanan zchuchas is also a form of mateches. It's something that can be melted down, which maybe is a response. So I'm sorry. It says what? Right, the Pirchash says it's not at all similar, and he didn't need the Damalaraya. So that's not at all like Ner Chanukah. Too much. Okay. Halach HaMaisa, I think the Bizman HaZeh, I think universal practice is like the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, to say the Tefillas Kelim, the middle approach. The Shulchan Aruch, based on the Torah, points out there's an added Nakuda, which is we don't say klimateches, but there is a different point which we specify, which is if it's one kli, we say altfilas keli, or altfilas kli. If it's multiple kelim, we would say altfilas kelim. So that's interesting also. Now, there are two points here. One point the Gra makes is you're going to say a single bracha tefillas kelim as opposed to making a separate bracha on each kli. He points out that's where he points you to that Tosefta in brachas. Again, as he said, while we do not accept making a single bracha al hamitzvos on doing a series of various different mitzvos, we do accept a different point that Tosefta makes, which is if you're going to repeat the same mitzvah multiple times, you say one bracha to cover them all. Shochet the bet to shecht many animals, you make one ala shechita, and that covers a whole series of shechitos. You're about to check many different rooms of the house, leil yudal nisan, or the house and the car and so on and so forth. One bracha al bir chametz covers all the every room is a separate bias, it's chayiv in b'dikas chametz, but one bracha covers all the iration of the mitzvahs. Those we will learn Hilchos Mezuzah, for those who we will learn Hilchos Mezuzah, so we'll see. And here it's actually very, very relevant that you only, if you're about to put up a whole slew, you're moving into a house, you can put up a whole bunch of mezuzahs, you make one bracha, and that covers all the acts of kviyas mezuzah. There it's actually very important in terms of there are many cases where there's a suffix. So you make sure to prioritize sequences that the first mezuzah your koveya lav dafka is the nicest mezuzah with the Jerusalem stone, but it's the one that's vaday chayiv. The truth is Tosas already made that point. Tosas said when you have a suffix in tefillas kelim, so make sure to tov if you can tov it together with another kli, it's vaday chayiv. You have one bracha will cover both. Tosas already making that point, that is, you have a single bracha to cover all the acts of tefillas kelim. And Gra points out, it's a Tosefta. But the other Nakuda is, Chachas Biyam gets very excited about it, and he points out the truth of Prima Gadim, follow the paper trail, Prima Gadim and Hilchas Neris Shabbos points to a very early Achron, the Eliyahu Rava, who says, one second, okay, so you're going to make a single bracha to cover all of the acts of tefillas kelim. About to tovel a whole set of silverware, 85 kelim, whatever it is, and we tovel them all. Galvik, one bracha on each one, on all of them. But what should the nusach bracha be? What should the nusach bracha be? You say lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. You don't say hadlik neros shel Chanukah. You say L'kibah mezuzah, not L'kibah mezuzos, even if it's many mezuzos. So why, all of a sudden here, you're saying Tefillas Kelim, say Al Tefillas Kelim, whatever you think. Kelim may be more the Lashon HaMikra. At the end of a sentence, you say Kelim. Whatever it is, why are we changing the Nusach just because it's plural? We don't seem to do that elsewhere. So you look in Arachaim, Simon Reish, Samach Gimel, Sif Hey, that's in the halachas of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, or should I say Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. So that's what the Prima Gadim there, the Eshel Avram, Prima Gadim is a super commentary. He wrote a Pirush on Perushim. He writes in many parts of Shulchan Aruch, whoever are the two main Nosekim, the Sire Shulchan Aruch, he'll write on each, and his title, the name of his parish, is a play on words on the name of the. So, for instance, on the Turei Zav, he writes the Mishpat Zav, on the Sifsei Kohen, he writes the Sifsei Das, and it's a It's a very, it tends to be a very clever play on the pasuk in Tanakh that the name of the parish is from. So the Eshel Avraham is a mug, is a prima gadim on the Magen Avraham. It's an Eshel Avraham there in Reish Lamech Gimel Sif Katan Yud Aleph. So he points out that Eliyahu Rabba said, if you're lighting multiple Neros Shabbos, you should write, you should make a bracha had like Neros Shel Shabbos, similar to what the tour in the Shulchan Aruch say over here. So he, so the Prima Gadim is not happy. This is number one. Maybe he disagrees. He says, I'm not sure that I hold to the tour in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe here you should be saying Altvilas Kli, Altvilas Kali, even if you're doing multiple Kali. Mechatesi, you should change. You don't change by Mezuzah. Interesting, he says there, and look who I wrote in Prima Gadim over there in Simon Kuf Chaf. As far as I know, we don't have the Prima Gadim on Tzvias Kehilim. We have Prima Gadim on the first Kehilim of Shulchan Aruch, Yerodea, first Kehilim Yerodea, on Shchita and Trefus and Vazchal Peruvus. But apparently he wrote, we don't have it, unfortunately. But he did write on our Simon, Avayu Shibizocha. He says, look what I wrote over there in Kuf Chaf, in Yerodea. I explain why one should maybe disagree with the Torah Shulchan Aruch. That's bold. And then he says, plus, even if you can take the Torah Shulchan Aruch, this is what Prima Gadim writing in Hilchos Shabbos, even if you say that the Torah Shulchan Aruch, that you say Al Tfilas Kelim, Ner Shabbos is different. Why? This is a logical difference. He says, there's a single chi of Ner Shabbos. Either you light one ner or you light multiple neros to be makayim that single chiyuv of ner Shabbos. When a woman lights two or 11, whatever it is, however many ner she's lighting, that's just multiple parts of multiple neros are all a chiyuv of ner Shabbos. Mashiach came here, he says, by Tfilas Kelim, each kli, if I have multiple kelim to be tovel, each one is a separate chiyuv. I have a chiv to tovel this knife, and this fork, and that spoon, and that peeler, and so on and so forth. So it's, he says, even though he rejects the Eliyahu Rabba's extension, even if you're going to accept, number one, he's not sure we should accept the Torah Mechaber even here, and if you do, he doesn't think that Ner Shabbos is comparable. And the problem is, by Mezuzah, we don't, and Mechaber himself doesn't say to change the Nusach HaBracha by Mezuzah. So it remains a little bit of a mystery. It remains a mystery.
But is this still all one bias? So, no, it's different rooms.
Maybe there's a separate chiyuv. Lechor is a separate chiyuv in each. Bias al pi parshas means a room. You have a multi-room house.
Right.
So it is a bit of a mystery. But Lamaisa, I think that is a common practice to follow the Mechaber in both cases. Got to figure out what the Torah and Shulchan were thinking. But whatever svar you're going to work out, Lamaisa by Mezuzah, we don't change the Nusach HaBracha. By Bir Chama, it's not really relevant. You don't name the house. You say, Al Bir Chama. But by Kalim, Lamaisa, I think the common practice is to say, to say Al Tfilas Kalim. Yeah, Al HaShchita. Yeah, the Shchita, you don't say. Also, Shchita, but Shchita also, we don't say Al HaShchitos.
Each animal is on the Chiyuv. It's not like
the next. Like here. Like here also. Right. So why? And Mizuz also.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the problem is that the. The Prima Gadim Svara explains why we say singular by Ner Shabbos, but he does not explain why by Mezuzah. Shchita maybe is, I'm sure Shchita refers to an act of Shchita as opposed to, it's Allah Shchita, maybe, but Mezuzah is definitely difficult. Yeah.
Is it possible that the reason why we say Al Tfilas Kelim is because the Sigur is called Tfilas Kelim, the Stam Tfilas Kelim is multiple. Maybe
you say on the what does it say on the top of the page of Shulchan Aruch on the Torah? Hechsher Kelim, Tfilas Kelim.
What do we call it? Ner Shel Chanukah?
The name of the, if reference is based on the name of the mitzvahs, then there will be a lot. Yeah.
It will be problematic for
Ner Shanukah and Ner Shabbos. One thought, it's interesting, one thought is the following. You talk about what do we call the mitzvah? There is an interesting, which you may have come across in learning the Mishnah Lamed Hey, the interesting Gra in Hilchos Challah, when he talks about the Machlokes Machabrama, and later in Yerideya, in Hafrashas Challah, do you say Lahafresh Challah, Lahafresh Truma? Machaber says Lahafresh Truma. And the Gra explains that's because brachos typically are in Biblical Hebrew. He points out that if you look at the opening Mishnah, Ketz Nerachin, it's very blatant. Al Yirakos, you say, Borei Mine Deshaya. That should be noted. Earlier, Al Peres Ha'ilon, you say, Borei Pri Ha'etz. Al Peres Ha'adama, Peres Ha'aretz, you say, Borei Pri Ha'adama. Because Eitz, for instance, Eitz is, in Biblical Hebrew, means both tree and wood. In Mishnaic Hebrew, Eitz is wood, but a tree is an Ilan. So the Mishnah, in giving the case, uses the Mishnaic Hebrew. Peiros ha-Ilan. Peiros ha-Eitz in Mishnaic Hebrew mean wooden fruit. That's not something you would eat. That would be a sculpture. Peiros ha-Ilan is a fruit of a tree. But the Nusach HaBrach itself, you don't say Bari Pri ha-Ilan. You say Bari Pri ha-Eitz, because in Biblical Hebrew, the tree is also an Eitz. It doesn't work 100% in Birkas HaMitzvahs. On Netilas Lulav, on Netilas Yadayim. Netilas Lulav is a mitzvah daraisa, but Netilah is not it's not Biblical Hebrew. So you got to figure that out. Yeah, Laniach Tefillin. It should be a Totafos, Osos. Yeah, Kshiras, both the verb and the noun are not... Yeah. Right. So yeah, you got to figure it out. So some of the notes that Caleb make it sound like, but if the Netziv, I think, says it, it's mamish sounds odd, seems to say, but if it's anti-colloquial, then we don't use Biblical Hebrew. If it fits, if it sounds a little archaic, you use Biblical Hebrew. But let's say, which may explain tefillin mezuzah and tefillin daim and tefillin luv, maybe. Well, kichas, when I say lekichas, the kichas kapasmar. That maybe that speaks to this also. Maybe you're saying, look at the way the Chumash describes it. If the Chumash describes it as a single instance, so then you're going to use a single instance. The Chumash describes it sort of as more of a class. The truth is, in Matos, the word Kli is a biblical term. Kli doesn't appear. Achaz ha-Zahavas, ha-Kaz ha-Zahachoshes. But so it doesn't use Kli or Kalim. But I would say it's not talking about one particular item. We're talking about a whole class of items. The soldiers came back from Melchemes Midian with, who knows, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of Kalim. All that Zahav and Kesef. It's like a mass of Zahav and Kesef. And maybe that's why, if we can, we say Kalim. Matter of fact, you might wonder why don't we always say Kalim. You say one, you say Kli. Masha'ena Kain by Mezuzah, the Torah's case is a uchsav tam. Well, I'm mezuzos pesecher. I don't know. Okay, you gotta think about it. Not sure. Yeah.
But, oh, and I was about to say
it's mezuzos pesecher. Yeah. So I'm not sure. It's tzarachim. If we'll be zeicher to find the Prima Gadim and Simin Kufchav, maybe we would have more insight.
But I think actually mezuzah itself is actually not a problem because
for every
room, all the mezuzos on the room are single chiyuv. And you don't mention the rooms in the bracha, so what you really have is the opposite.
I don't want to get too deep into mezuzah right now, but I wonder if even that's true. In other words, let's say I have multiple doors into a single room. So, do you mean to tell me if I only put up one of those mezuzahs? Let's say I have three doorways, the kaigavna, they're all chayv. So. L'chor, each one is a separate kiyum mitzvah. If I only put up one, I didn't put up the other two yet, I was mekayim that mitzvah b'shlai musa. I didn't do these yet. Now, it is true, there is a sugya of ragil, shein ragil. The Gemara does say menachas, the end of Sim Resh Pevav in Yerdeya, that sometimes if one door into the room is far more significant than the other doors, so then it's mevatel the others. But maybe there's something to that. But regardless, I have many rooms in a house, and I put up multiple mezuzahs. Yeah, got to think about it somewhere. It's interesting, the mystery. Okay. So, Lamaisa, we do say bracha, And we do say common practice is a middle approach, al tefilas kli, not mateches, but more than just al tefila. And then you make one bracha multiple iterations, and you have the Torah Shulchan Aruch saying that you change the nusach habracha between singular and plural, which the Eliyahu Rabbah disagreed with. I'm sorry. Eliyahu Rabbah thought you should do the same thing. He thought it was so good you should even do it by Ner Shabbos. And the Prima Gadda, meanwhile, thought maybe we should not change over here. Okay, but Lamaisa, we don't fully understand why we change, but Lamaisa, we do. And now we turn, the time we have now, let's begin to look at the Se'ifim at the end of the Siman. Se'ifim Yud Beis through Tezayin, the last five Se'ifim. And the Siman also pick up with the rest of the dinim of the Ofan, the way you go about doing Tefillas Kelim, as well as Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, the next Siman, which is a fish about Hagala, Se'if Beis, talks about the interplay between Tefillas Kelim and Hagala's Kelim. So that's also relevant. So you have, again, a total of nine Se'ifim dedicated to the Ofan of Tefillas Kelim. Aleph, Beis, and Gimel will be Baruch Hashem dealt with. Now let's turn our attention to Se'ifim Beis, and then I didn't want to have a jumbo super chabura to cover all of it at one time. I didn't think that was productive. So we'll continue. We'll see as far as we get now, and then we'll bli neder continue, hopefully complete this tomorrow. Se'ifim Beis, most of these Se'ifim at the end, they have no tour. I think that's why they appear at the end. They just have in the Beis Yosef. Adds, as he often will do, adds issues that the Torah didn't raise. The Se'ifim Beis is that when you do Tefillas Kelim, so you have to immerse the entire kli. Tzarech lahatbil, Shulchan Aruch writes, Yidea kli, I have to immerse the entire kli. It's not enough. In other words, what? What would I have thought otherwise? It's not enough. It means two things.
Have a handle, metal handle.
Yeah, I have a handle, so it's not enough to say that I'm not going back to the world of clay suda. I'm chayiv. The Rishonim had developed the idea that I'm only chayiv. Kli is only chayiv if it's used for food in direct contact with the food. So there's a whole handful of Rishonim by Tosis and others about have the metal parts on the outside. So I have a kli. I have a spoon, I have a soup ladle, and it has a handle. I have a peeler, and it has a handle. Whatever, I have a pan, and I have a metal pan, and it has a handle. So I could have said that the part that's chayiv is the kli suda part. I mean, the part that touches, it directly interacts with the food. The handle doesn't touch the food. The handle might not even be metal. And what if I have, when they make knives, so one of the differences between better knives, higher quality, lower quality knives, are they full tang. Full tang means that a full tang knife has the metal blade extended, is a single piece of metal that extends the entire length of the handle as well. So you have a single piece of metal at the top, let's say, imagine that you're holding it with a handle on the bottom. So you have the metal blade on top, and it continues into the shape of the handle. And then that's full tang. And the handle, the whatever plastic, rubber, whatever it is, wood, is sandwiches the metal piece. It's obviously stronger, more sturdy. Other kalim, knives or otherwise, are not full tang. We have the metal pieces fused onto wood or onto plastic or rubber, whatever it is. So, if it's not full tang, there's mamish, no metal in the handle half of the kli b'chlal. So you could have imagined, what am I tobeling it for? What am I tobeling for? So this is rooted. So talk about why am I tobeling? The answer is a yisod, which has relevance for other issues as well, and that is Hagavs Mardechai, Shulchan Aruch. You look in Beis Yosef, it's rooted in Hagavs Mardechai, and the Gra says it's really rooted in a Mishnah. Hagavs Mardechai explains that this is one of the differences between Tefillas Kelim and Hagalas Kelim. Hagalas Kelim, if I have a metal pan. The pan is a little more complicated. But I have a metal knife. The knife also might be more complicated. I guess maybe you have to do Lieber. But let's say I have a ladle for soup, and it's a metal ladle, but the handle is rubber, the handle is wood, the handle is plastic. So then al pi pashta, so you're not mechuyev to kasher the handle, only the business end of the kli. There's even a discussion in Bal Yatosfos, Chachmei Ashkenaz discussed. If I know that I never use the ladle never gets more than this deep into the soup. So I know the last couple of inches of metal next to the handle never get into the soup. So they have to kasher all the metal, to discuss Rabbi Peretz, not for now. But certainly the handle doesn't have to be kasher. So the Hagos Marachai says, yeah, that's one of the differences between Hag'ola, kashering, and Tevila. And why is it different? Because Hag'ola is a physical process. Hag'ola is a practical physical process. There's this flavor of tarfus that got absorbed into the charsus agadeir, got absorbed into the metal or the ceramic, whatever it is. And if it's metal or it's wood, now I'm seeking through Hag'ola to leach out that, to remove that flavor. So it's a physical process. So I only have to kasher as much of the kli as has absorbed. So if I know that the handle didn't absorb tarfus, no reason to stick the handle into the boiling hot water. It's a physical process. There's no formal need to kasher the entire kli. And there's another aspect to this also. I don't need, even when I do, let's say I have a big pot and I'm trying to kasher it, and it's too big to stick into the hagala water all at the same time. So that's fine. Let's say I have a long challah knife. Kashmir Pesach. It's a long, long challah knife. It's too long to fit into the... So you stick in this side, and then you stick... Well, who kashmir challah knife? Good point. Who's kashmir challah knife? Unless you have a soft Sephardi matzah. Okay, I have a long kli. Our minig is to kasher the Tilsa Daim top. Right? So let's say it's big with long handles. So I stick in this side, stick in that side. It's fine. I have some sort of long metal tray. I stick in this end, and then I stick in that end. I could do multiple dips in the Hagala water as long as over the course of all those dips, I end up, every single part of the kli at some point was immersed in the Hagala water. That's good. I don't have to do the whole kli bevasachas. I don't have to do cold gufa bevasachas. And again, a part of the kli that has not absorbed lias doesn't have to go into the Hagala water at all. Both of those facts are a result of the underlying yisod. The Hagala is a physical process. Masha'enu kein tefila. Tefila is not a physical process. Tefila is a metaphysical process. Tefila is a spiritual process. I'm being told about the kli. It's not a question of I need to physically remove something from that, that's nivla. No, it has to have you have to do an act of tefillah. So an act of tefillah has definitions. Act of tefillah is kol hagufa v'azachas. So you tefillahs adam, tefillahs kelim, you kol hagufa v'azachas, which means, number one, I can't do this part and that part, whether it's a person, a very shallow mikvah, so you can't go like this and go like, stick in this part by that part by, no, it has to be a single moment when the person's entire body is immersed under the water. Or for a kli also, if I have a wide, shallow mikvah and this kli doesn't fit, you got to figure out a way to have one moment, as we discussed last week. It has to be one moment when the entire kli, entire surface of the kli is simultaneously in touch with the meha mikvah. And that's also why you have to be tovel the yedosa kli. You need the... Once this is a kli that's chayiv in tefillah, the whole kli needs tefillah. Even though... The reason why the kli is the reason why the ladle is chayiv is because of the metal spoon that touches the soup. Okay, but lamaisa, this is a kli that's chayiv in tefillah. Why? Because that part of the kli touches food. But hashta, that part of the kli touches food, the kli as a whole is chayiv in tefillah. Therefore, the kli as a whole has to go. Even the yad has to go under. The Gra points out that's what the Mishnayos say. The Gra and Sifkat Lamed Gimel points to Mishnah, I think the last paragraph of Mikvos, that when you tovel kli, kol yidos hakelim. That's the nitla. Now this gra is lishitas. So earlier we had seen sifkat yutas. We had there also assumed that that dinam kemola inyan tuma. That we that there's going to be a lot of similarities, parallels between tefillah for tuma and tefillah isav hetter of kli. Now it should also be noted that on the one hand there is a limitation to this. In other words, it's true that once I have a kli that's chayav in tefillah, the whole kli has to go into mikveh, even though the handle doesn't touch the food and the handle might not be made out of metal or glass. But you'll remember a counterpoint was it mentioned Rav Moshe's tshuva about the old-fashioned electric urns. And he had said, the old-fashioned electric urns with the black metal housing in the bottom with that classic orange light. So he says, over there you can flip. He had his Mishnah in Zavim, I believe. Forget. He had pointed out that his approach there was you just have to tovel the, turn it upside down, open the spouts, the water can get in, and just tovel the metal part. You don't have to tovel the black housing that has the element. And he has, his raya had been, the Tanam say, that if you have a container with multiple pockets for different types of silver, one pocket for the knives, one pocket for forks, and so on and so forth, if Adam Tame touches, let's say, the pocket that holds the knives, the other pockets don't become Tame. That pocket becomes a Rishon L'Tumah, and the rest remains Tar. Why? So you see from there, Moshe points out that you can have multiple Kalim that are connected to each other. Even though it's one piece of wood or one piece of metal, whatever it is, but it doesn't mean that's one Kli. Each one has its own Hishtamshus. So Moshe said, Udinami by the urn, two separate Kalim that are fused together. The metal Kli is a pot, and then the black plastic Kli is a heat source. So you might say, "What? How could Rav Moshe say that?" Shulchan Aruch here says that you have to be tovel the yedosa Kli also. So what's the teretz? So you see from here that if it's attached, if it's all one piece, then the whole thing has to go into mikveh. Right. Over there, his raya from Tyrus is that just because I can have two kalim that are connected together, a single piece of material, but two separate kalim, that's because the two parts have two separate hishtamshios. That comes up also by the Recham Shel Pilpulim, which is the original gra, Sifkat and Zayin. Recham Shel Pilpulim, I might have this pepper mill that may have, or the different parts are connected and fused together. But one is you know, you have one that's a grinder and one that's a container. So they're a separate kelim that happen to be connected. But the yada kli doesn't have a separate hishtamshus. This is a single kli with a single hishtamshus. Hishtamshus is to pull soup out of a pot. You use the handle in tandem with the spoon. You use the handle of a knife in tandem with the blade. They don't have separate hishtamshus. You use them simultaneously. Masha Enokin, if I have a silverware holder, there's a separate pocket for knives, separate pocket for spoons, I could use one without the other. They happen to be connected together, it's convenient. But they don't have separate hishtamshios. So that's what you see here in terms of the yada kli. Yeah?
What happens if I use the yada kli for something else?
You have like a survival knife that has 10 different tools in it. So in the handle also is a container for matches, and on the side it has something to strike a match on, and there's a compass on it. That's an interesting question.
Where's more simple?
But it is still a handle, or are you saying it's like a yeshiva bacher's? You know, instead of stirring the soup with the stem of the glasses. See, that's the classic Shaila, right? Is there a problem if I have one stem to use for milk and one stem for flesh? Yeah, for the coffee and for the soup. The answer is that the Perek Hay of Hilchos Deis can apply to Bachrim also. To live an elevated life, doesn't have to be fancy, but elevated and elegant, organized and kempt, so that is relevant regardless of whether you're a Bachar or not. Yeah. It's an interesting question. You have a handle, so this piece serves both as a handle for the knife, let's say, but also as some other ishtamshas. But it does serve as a handle for the knife.
But it also has the...
Yeah. Not sure. My netiyah would be that you have the tovah. I think. Yeah, then what's the next sif? Sifir Gimel. Sifir Gimel comes up all the time. If you give them some Chachmei Ashkenaz, they're quoting a Sifrei.
Oh, that's
interesting. The Sifrei Darshan's, that word Ach, Ach is HaZahava is HaKesef, and so on and so forth. Ach, but the Gemara, I Vozar, I name of days, talks about the Ach, in terms of figuring out what sort of body of water are you looking for Tfilas Kalim. The Sifrei Darshan's Ach means only the kli, not something else. I take that back. I'm sorry. The Gemara does not darshan the Ach. The Gemara does not darshan the Ach, but the Sifrei darshan the Ach. And the Sifrei says Ach is Ach is hazahav es hakesef, so it's a miut. Only the Zav and Kesef itself, as opposed to what else? As opposed to, it doesn't mean that something else, which is Pater. Interesting type of a draw. Usually, Ach means, this is Chayav, but that's Pater. You hear the Sifrei says, Ach Zav means, in order to Tov, the thing that we're describing as Tov, it is only Zahav, as opposed to Zahav with an overlay on top of it. As opposed to iron, let's say, with an overlay on top of it. So the Sifrei says, if you have Chaluda, let's say you have a metal, an iron kli that rusts. So you have to remove the rust before you can tovel. That's what the Mechaber says over here. Sif Katan, it seems in Sifir Gimel. Sarach lahavir chaluda kodem tefila. You have to remove the rust over the something else that's stuck. There's a notice that Canon pointed out.
Stickers.
To remove it. So this is a stickers question. Now, let's say lohavir, you toveled it without removing it. So here the Shulchan Aruch starts to get into the details. It depends how much, and it depends how much you care about it. There's a quantitative issue and a qualitative issue. And that's because even though you have this Sifrei that relates it to the specific pasuk in the context of Parshas Matos, the context of the Parsha of Tfilas Kalim, you see, the Gra sends you to look, it's a very classic type of Gra. Look at Sif Katan Lamadal, Sif Katan Lamadei. Sif Katan Lamadal, he says, Tarach Lahavir, the fact you have to remove the rust, is up. Mordechai, Nirosh, B'shem Sifrei, V'leisib B'Sifrei Shalanu. Okay, the Gra says, I looked up in Sifrei. Our Gerson Sifrei doesn't have this. But I found it elsewhere. The Yalkut Shimoni I found. The Yalkut Shimoni is, as the name indicates, is a collection of many, from many different anthologies, from many different midrashim. The original set of Rapsukim, the Yalkut quotes, it says, from some midrash or another, Ach es hazav, Ach lahavir chaluda. Okay. And then, Sifkat Lamed Hei, Shulchan Aruch starts talking about when yes, when not. Kamosha Kasa Resh Erevin Sukkah Yevamis Venida. Wow. Doesn't tell you what they say. So this is based on the Gemara that appears in many places. What's the Gemara that appears in many places? That's because the Gemara says in a number of different places. As he tells you that it comes up several times in Shas, that in general, whenever you deal with Chatzitza for Tvila, for Tvila and so forth, so when you talk about chatzitza, we're tipping for tefila or netilas sedaim, we're looking at two different criteria. One is how much of the item, the person or the aver of the person or the kli, how much of the item's surface area is covered by this chatzitza? Is it rov or is it miut? And the other issue is how much do you care about it? Is it makbid or eno makbid? The din is, the Gemara tells us, as the Gemara points out in many places, that chatzitza daraisa, which the Gemara says is halacha l'moshe Sinai, chatzitza, the rules of chatzitza halacha l'moshe Sinai, the min ha-Torah, chatzitza is only relevant if it has both, meets both criteria. It's a rubo ha-makbid. Most of the person's body, or maybe most of the aver, or most of the surface of the kli is covered, and it's a chatzitza that you're upset about. You want to remove it. So if you have a big sticker that covers most of the surface of the kli, and you really want to remove it, or you have rust. The old kli, you went to an antique shop, you went to some yard sale, and you bought this kli from Nachri, and now you have to tovel it, and it's coated in rust. You don't intend to leave the rust there, you intend to remove that rust. So that's a rubo hamakbid. If most of the surface area is covered with the rust, you intend to remove the rust, something you're not happy that's there, it's a rubo hamakbid, that's a chatzitza daraisa. Midrabanan, chatzitza applies even if you have either one of the criteria. If it's either rubo she'eno makbid, doesn't come up so often, or some more common is miut hamakbid. It's only one small spot that's covered by rust or by a sticker, but I intend to get that sticker off. I'm not going to use the pot that way. I'm not going to have drinking glasses. I'm not going to have use a plate or a salad bowl that has a sticker on it. Pasnish. I'm going to remove it. So if I plan to remove it, so then it's a davra makbid. Then it's a davra makbid. And that's with the Shulchan Aruch goes on to quote from the Rishonim, from the goes Mordechai. If how do you define eno makbid? He says, let's see, you have rust on the kli. Shulchan Aruch says, if your makbid says chotzitz, even though it's only a meat. If you rubbed it, you put on coals, we would probably use a steel wool. They didn't have steel wool, so they would use hot coals. I guess you apply that to the metal, to the iron kli, and that's going to loosen, either remove or at least loosen the rust. You did all that, all the tricks in your kit. You did everything you could. There's still a little bit left. You got off most of the rust, most of the tarnish, whatever it is. A little bit is still there. Shelo yachol la'avai dekach. It's not going to get, maybe eventually it'll come off with time, but you have no way of getting it off. Havi mi'uto she'eno makbid v'eino chotzitz. So that's a mi'ut she'eno makbid, not chotzitz. So what's interesting is you see that there are two ways to be eino makbid. Either eino makbid because I don't mind if it stays there, or eino makbid, I do mind, but I have no choice. It's going to stay there because I tried my best. I clearly mind. I've been trying for the last 20 minutes to get it off, but some of it just is it's not coming off. So if I throw up my hands and say, I'm miyayish, I'm sure yish ba'olam, but sometimes it makes sense. Important thing is not miyayish. Okay, so you couldn't get the whole sticker off, so leave it there. So if I gave up on getting the last remnants of sticker, I'll use it with whatever little bits of sticker are left. So that's a miyayishan mak, but it's not a problem. I could totally that way. Just to clarify, that means that I did everything I could do, and I'm going to now leave it there. I'm going to use it this way, and maybe over time, in the months and years to come, it'll come off, but I plan to use it this way indefinitely. That's a miyocheinu makbid. I'm allowed to tovel it that way. However, if you have steel wool that you didn't bring along to the mikvah, if you have gugon, or whatever it is, a nail polish remover that you didn't bring along to the mikvah, so now you're in the mikvah, you're like, there's a sticker. So I start peeling it off and a little bit left. So can I tovel? Well, I can't get the rest off. What am I going to do when I get home? If when I get home, I'm going to leave it that way. Okay, it's a miyachan hamakbid. But if they know, when I get home, I have better tools at home that I'm going to use to remove it. Just right now, right here in the mikveh, I don't have the right tools. That's a miyachan hamakbid. So that's a problem, midrabanan. And that's a midrabanan's ma'ak of the tefillah. It should be noted, the first type of eino makbid, of course, is not that I can't get it off, but I don't want to get it off. I think some of the posts can point out, leaving aside the mitos issue, if you have a sticker that has snob appeal, a Tiffany sticker. So if the whoever the owner of the kli is, if he wants to have the Tiffany sticker on, he wants to flex that he overpaid for this little candy dish. So he overpaid. He may as well at least, you know, he wants to at least get some social credit out of it. Again, leaving aside the mitos issue, but the beautiful Ramban, Avram Avinu, the end of Chaisara, but Avram Avinu passes away. Zakein v'saveh, beautiful Ramban there, but differentiating between wants and needs, and how to get past the usual problem of Mishei Shalmana wrote some aside. How to actually find satisfaction. Okay, but leaving that aside, Lamaisa, if the fellow wants to have the sticker on, either because it's a useful sticker, it's instructions, whatever, or because it's a Tiffany sticker, Lamaisa, he likes the snob appeal. If you want the sticker to be there, that's obviously an omakbet. You want it there. I'll drop it. You don't want to remove it. So if you want the sticker there, even if it's not part of the kli, but it's a niyachin omakbet. Or, I wish I could remove it. I tried removing it. I'm out of tricks. I can't get it off. So either case, that's a miyochein omakbid, and that is not a problem to tovel as is. The Chalkas Binyamin has a diak in the Chachmas Adam, it could be even a diak in Shulchan Aruch, that he thinks, but ideally you should really remove miyochein omakbid also, if you can. Chachmas Adam says here, Klal Ayin Gimel Chachmas Adam is Hilchot Tvios Kelim, so in Os Yedaled, he says, "V'chol miyot she'eno makbel alav ve'eno yachol lahaviro mutar litbol kach." It's eno makbel and you can't remove it. So it sounds like if you could remove it, you should take it off. Okay, you got to look at the old girsaos of the Chachmas Adam. Does he mean two separate points, or that's the definition? And it's eno makbel because eno yachol lahavir. Choose the Shulchan Aruch also sounds a little bit like that. You have to remove the chaluda. But he says, "If lo havir, let's figure out." If it's a makbir or not. Okay, could be. Could be, not sure. He, the Chalkas Binyamin has a chiddush. The previous, Chalkas Binyamin has a chiddush of cotton. Quotes on the Aruch HaShulchan. Chalkas Binyamin Siv Katan Kufirav, quotes on Aruch HaShulchan. It says, although, if you have a kli made of different parts, but you use it all as one, so like a Lego type of situation, if a kli is made of different parts, you use it as one, you don't have to take it apart. A kli shall prakim, you don't have to take them apart before you tovel them. But he says, but if you have a pocket knife, so the Chalkas Binyamin Sifkan Yud Al Kufir Aleph, quotes in the Aruch HaShulchan, he thinks you do have to open the blade. Because the way you're mishtamish with it is only with the blade open. I mean, it's meant to be able to fold, so you can carry it folded. But when you're mishtamish with it as a kli suda, it's always open. So it's an interesting chiddush. Not sure that everyone agrees, but that's what he quotes. The Chazon quotes the Aruch HaShulchan that since the mishtamish is when it's open, so he thinks the handle is to have it closed when it's in the mikvah. And the handle would serve as a serve as a chatzitza. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. It's next time. Tomorrow we'll wrap up the last four sifim. Yudalet, Tazvav, Tazayin, about kids, Nachrim, and about when you're stuck, and the issue of the sequencing of Tevila and Hagala. It's Kuf Chafav Suf Beis. Guy Hever.